Blood bought, redeemed, reconciled, born again, saved, sanctified, and ready to meet Jesus. How about you? Let me tell you what. Maranatha, what's that word mean? Come on, Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Isaiah's got some incredible messages for Olive Springs Baptist Church. But folks, I'm telling you what, today he teaches us how to praise the Lord. And you know, after you sang a minute ago in the congregational music and you applauded, you came to, that was a statement of praise of this congregation. From your heart to God because of singing and what it meant. You know the context of these verses in Isaiah in chapter 42. And I hope you have your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 through 13, because there are just four things I want to say this morning, but I'm telling you, it's not there just. These are incredible, incredible statements about the process of what it means for you and I to completely and totally learn how to praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to praising the Lord and understanding, I think some of the times we have misunderstood. But I want you to, go back with me in the context for a second. The Jews of Judah are in exile in Babylon. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon invaded Jerusalem in 587, 86 B.C. for the second time. But this time when he came in, he completely destroyed the temple and the remaining Jews he took into exile into Babylon. And yet, when you look at chapter 42 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 10, Isaiah says something incredible to these exiles. Now, folks, these people had lost everything. Many had lost their lives. Many had lost their homes. Many had had total destruction all around them. Does that sound familiar in the last few weeks right here in this area? And yet, look with me to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 through 13. And look what Isaiah says to the exiles to do. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, they just lost everything, folks. Has Isaiah absolutely lost his mind? You tell me to sing when I've lost my house, my home, and I'm being exiled in some God-forsaken country? You tell me I'm supposed to praise the Lord? Well, he goes on. He gets better. And sing his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, that includes the fish, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voice, the villages of Kedar, inhabitants, let the inhabitants of Selah sing, and let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory to the Lord, declare his praise in the coastlands, and the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man, he'll stir up his zeal like a mighty man of war, he will cry out, yes, he'll shout aloud, and he shall prevail against his enemies. Now, does that sound like something somebody would write to a bunch of folks that are in exile? No, but that's exactly what God told Isaiah to say. And folks, when he did, he said, no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, if you're in the mountains, if you're hanging on the rocks, if you're living out in the pasture land in tents, no matter where you are, you learn the art, the gift of learning how to truly praise the Lord. And folks, the Bible here is very explicit, very specific to you and to me, exactly what it means. Isaiah was telling his people that they must have a lifestyle of praise. Over the years, we've thought praising the Lord is just something we do together in worship, or it's something we do together with a group of people. But Isaiah is saying, no, folks, what I want you to understand is you develop a lifestyle of learning how to live a lifestyle praise to God in everything that you do, no matter what. And Isaiah is very specific. He tells you exactly how to do this. The word praise in the Hebrew actually comes from a Hebrew word called hallel. You studied it in the Psalms. Perhaps you've looked at the word Tehillim in the Psalms, which refers to a song, music, etc. And then we get to this word, literally, Hallel. And again, what's that word sound like? There are a few of the Psalms from 119 in that area known as the Hallel. The word means praise. But then we move it into the Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And then we hear a word that we learn today called Hallelujah. The word Yahweh, God, Lord God, the holy name of God that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. And I emphasize holy. Modern day Jew will not pronounce the name Yahweh because of his extreme holiness. And I must tell you, you've heard me say from this pulpit many times, when it comes to actually saying the name Yahweh, you will never hear me say that in general conversation unless I'm teaching or making a point. Why? Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is the I Am. That is the personal name of God that he gave to Moses. And what did Moses do, folks, when he stood there at the burning bush? He asked God for his personal name. God gave it to him. And then, well, you remember what Moses did? He took off his shoes because he realized the ground upon which he was standing was holy. Wow. Hallel. Hallelujah. What's it mean? Praise God. Praise be to Yahweh, to God. That's what it means. And so why? If you go back in chapter 42, beginning in verse 1, chapter 42 in Isaiah begins the servant songs of the book of Isaiah. These next four chapters deal with the coming of the Messiah for the Jews. Now look at that. They are in exile. Their temple has been destroyed. Their homeland has just simply been annihilated. They're in Babylon in exile under Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord is saying, you praise God because the best is yet to come. I'm not finished with you folks yet. And I want to tell you why I'm not finished, God says, because I'm going to send to you the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus Christ. And he said, that's why you need to learn to praise the Lord. Now, we live on the other side of Jesus, right? We live on the other side of his first advent into this world. What are we looking forward to? You can say it. Yes, the coming again of Christ, the very fact of the rapture, the very fact of Jesus coming to take his church. It is a promise. We are just passing through. We are just pilgrims passing through this land, ladies and gentlemen. We are here for a short time. And the older I get, 100 years seems like nothing compared to what I thought when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. When we were that young, so many of you, do you think you were going to live forever? And then when you get in your 50s and whatever, you think, where did the last 40 years go? And Mr. Paul told me the other day, where did the last 90 go? You know, it's incredible. Time is short. 100 years is this compared to what we think of eternity completely. And Isaiah is telling the exiles, hey, folks, listen, I know it's hard now. I know seemingly God is silent, but hang in there. God is at work, and God is going to blow us away because he's promised us the Messiah. Don't you know that made those folks just want to hop and jump up and down and say, praise the Lord, and learn truly how to praise God? There are four ways you do it. And Isaiah takes him in each verse, and he shows you. He writes it in plain language. Because praising the Lord has got to be a lifestyle. Not just a one-time thing you do on Sunday morning. Or in a choir rehearsal. Or wherever you are. It is all the time. Here's the first thing you do. It's in your outline. I want you to follow with me. It's found in verse 10. And it's simple to understand and simple to write. And this one's going to blow you away. Learn to sing. I figured I'd get an amen from somebody. Learn to sing. Now, Randy, I can't sing. Never have been able to sing. I can't sing. Yes, you can. Because when you understand the scripture, what does that verse say? Look at it. I've got it underlined on the screens for you. Look at this right here real quickly. Let me see if I can get my brain to work to find the right button. Right? Oh, there it is. What's that word say right there? Learn to sing a new song. Now, I've got all Hebrew written here for you. But let me tell you what new means in Hebrew. It's a little word called hadash. But it means fresh. It means brand new. It means never existed before. It's new. When God came into your life and he forgave you of every sin, what does the Bible say happened to you? Well, actually 33 different things. But in particular, to sum it all up, what did God say? He made to you made you a what kind of creature? New. The same word in the Greek used in the Hebrew, it means something completely brand new. It doesn't mean in a makeover. It means he has recreated you. So we learn to sing a new, a brand new, a fresh song. The exiles, they had to learn to sing a new one. Why? Because they were in the middle of disaster. Talking about being depressed. Talking about not even having a reason to live. Talking about wanting to give up and say, enough's enough, I've had it with this stuff. God said, don't you give up, the Messiah's coming. So many people give up just before dawn. And the psalmist says, don't do that, because joy comes when, folks? In the morning. In the morning. Learn to sing. The Bible is not talking about the physical note of singing. My dear father couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, whatever. But let me tell you, I'm revealing confessions of my dad. He wouldn't mind. He'd love me telling you this. When he'd get in the shower, everybody in the house heard him. Now, Dad was the greatest monotone you ever heard in the shower. But I'm going to tell you what. You know where his song originated from? It wasn't his vocal cords. Where was it, folks? That's what he's talking about. First of all, you learn to sing. Where do you learn to sing from? Pam is always teaching this choir how to sing, how to bring out specific words, how to drop your mouth. I have TMJ. When I drop mine, it locks. I have to be careful. But she tells us exactly how to do this, she tells us the exact way we need to sing without question. God is telling us, he's giving us the exact way right here to learn to sing. That song I want you to sing, Isaiah says, has got to start from the deepest chambers of your heart. And it's got to be a fresh, new song. And for some of us in this house this morning, it means a completely makeover in your life, a regeneration, because some perhaps do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. Many of us in this room have been Christians for years, but we've forgotten the act of praising God. We've gotten in such a religious rut that we don't even praise God. We assume praise is simply what we do on Sunday morning, and then the name of Jesus is never mentioned the rest of the week. What is wrong with that picture of praise? We got to learn to sing. Christians sometimes are the saddest people you ever meet. They're the more woe is me at work. This has happened. This is this. And I'm as guilty as everybody else. We all are folks. But Isaiah's saying, look, if anybody ever had any right to be down, depressed, wanted to give up, throw in the towel and everything, it was the Jews. From Judah, who had been uprooted. Can you imagine living in bad conditions, living in exile? And yet Isaiah says, here, I got a word from the Lord from you folks. You praise God. He's not finished. So I come to you this morning and I say, I'm not trying to be Isaiah, trust me. But I say to you, look, we're living on the edge of the rapture of the church, I believe. Don't you give up, folks. I don't know what you bring into this room. I don't know what you're facing in your families. I don't know what you're facing financially. I don't know what you're facing wherever you are. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says you learn to sing a new song. God is in control. We talked about trust last week, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. Amen? So learn to sing. Learn to sing that fresh, that brand new song. I could go through the rest of the Hebrew and show you the differences in the word song, but you just take my word for it right there. That's what that verse means. I'm as convinced of it as I'm sitting here. There's a second thing. Now we got to learn how to sing. The second one is lift up your voice. Now the song originates from our heart. It can be monotone. It can be silent, but it's a song. Oh, it's a song. And now Isaiah says, okay, folks, you lift up your voice. Now that's when we got to do something. Because he says, let those in the wilderness, the desert land, those in the cities of the wilderness, which there were, in other words, the village of Kedar. Kedar was in Edom. It's also the son of Ishmael, the grandson of Abraham right here. Second son of Ishmael was called Kedar. And we believe these group was descendants of them. But they were nomadic people. They lived in tents. And then the city of Edom was the seat of Selah, literally. It lived in the rocks. So it's saying those people in the pasture land, those people in the wilderness, those people who live in the rocks, those people in the sea, no matter what you do, where you are on this globe, you learn to praise. And matter of fact, he says, you shout it from the rooftops of the mountain. Now the Bible says, lift up your voice. And you know me, I had to go back once again. We always just lift up your voice. What's it mean to lift up your voice? Does it mean just to sing a song? The word lift means lift with the intention of giving someone something. I look at my Bible. It is sitting on this platform. I can stand way over here and I can see that Bible. It is there. And I want to take that Bible and give it to Rod. Now, the most common sense thing for me to do is what? Go pick it up and give it to him. You know, I can't wish it there. I can't hope it. I can't even pray that Bible off that pulpit into his hands. So what's God asking me to do to lift it up? You can say it. It's okay. Walk over here and get it, right? Okay, I walk over here and get it. I make some intentional movement to pick up something, in this case, the Bible. Okay, good. I got the Bible in my hand. What was my intention from the beginning to do with this Bible when I lifted it up? To give it to Rod. The lifting up is this. When I lift up my Bible and I walk down these steps, I did it without tripping. Praise the Lord. And I take my Bible, I put it in Rod's hands, and he's got it. That's lift up. Lift up began not when I just simply lifted the Bible, but I had an intentional purpose in my lifting up. I was going to bring this to my brother Rod and not hit his knee. You see the point? When you lift up your voice, who are you intentionally lifting up your voice to? Say it with me. God. So how do we lift up our voice to God? How do you do it? You lift up your voice. You lift up everything you are. Dr. Ed Thornton at Southern Seminary years ago taught me more about that than anything. He talked to me about the prayer of the heart. And he said, you know, there are times we don't even know what to pray for. What's the Bible say? The Holy Spirit will do what? He'll pray for us. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to utter a word. But my voice, which is right here, the action of my heart now, this song, that new song, this fresh, brand new song that's originated, this recommitment, this fresh touch from God in my heart. And God is allowing me to allow that to come out of my heart and be actualized in what I do by my actions. Everything in my lifestyle, I lift up Jesus. That doesn't mean you walk around in a fanatical way and every other word is Jesus, oh Lord, and all this. No, what it does mean is that we learn to live a lifestyle of praise. Tell people about Jesus. When we leave the church so often, we never mention the name Jesus throughout the week. We need to learn to talk about Jesus. We need to learn to openly say our love for Jesus Christ to our friends, our neighbors, and our family. We need to lift up our voice. Do you see? I can talk about moving this Bible. I can talk about praising God all I want to. But until I go get it and give it to Rod, until I take what's in my heart and share it with the world, I have not praised God. Do you see the difference? Praise is more than even lifting it up in worship, though that's incredible. We take it out of here. And we praise God in front of our neighbors, our families, Have you responded to tragedy with flood, with all these who've come to you? What's been your response to them? Has the name of Jesus been there? Not to pacify someone, but simply to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. Lifting up your voice, making a statement by how you live your lifestyle. The third and final thing, I'll go to the fourth one, but that's the end of it. The third part of the process right here is give glory to the Lord. Let them give glory to the Lord. We're always hearing this term, give glory to the Lord. The word for give used here in the Hebrew is a little word simply pronounced sum, S-U-M is the way we transliterate it. Now, I took my Bible and I gave it to Rod. And you know what Rod did? Did y'all see what he did? He took it. That's the giving. You see? In the Hebrew, you can talk about giving gifts all you want to. But if I walk down and give something to someone, see, if Jimmy's fixing to sing a solo, I'm not going to let him. He would if I asked him to. And I brought him a microphone. What's Jimmy got? That's right. This is the giving. The minute he takes that mic, I just gave. You see? Now, that says give God the glory, right? The word glory, and I went back to be sure, is a word literally in the New Testament or in the Old Testament that refers to the glory of God. We get the New Testament word, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament is the word doxa. You remember weeks ago I talked to you about the Shekinah glory of God, the brightness, the power of God. People cannot look upon God because of that brightness. He is the light of heaven. So the Bible says, how in the world do we give that kind of light to God? How do we give that kind of glory to God? And so then I look back to the word praise. Hallel, glory. Hallel, doxa. Where's the relationship? And then it hit me. Hallel, make Jesus shine. That's praise. When we give glory to God, what do? We make Jesus shine. The music we've been singing this morning is about illuminating, making Jesus shine. That's what the word means. It means when I'm willing to give glory to God, I want to make Jesus shine. So many of you made some beautiful comments to me about the messages over these last few weeks, especially the ones on eschatology. And I say this with every bit of humility, by no means patting me on the back. But you hear my response. Folks, that's not me. Trust me, it's not. This is a God thing, and it is a God thing. I take no credit for it. I don't do that, pat me on the back, make you like or love me more. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Trust me, folks, I can't do this. What you hear on Sunday morning is not human. I go back and listen to some of these sometimes, and I think, did I say that? Kind of like Steve Urkel. Did I really make that statement? And I thought, that's not even in the notes, God. And I can just hear the Lord. He looks down to me and he says, oh, surprise. I'm in control. So give glory to God. Your lifestyle, everything, give it to Jesus. People say, wow, you did such a good job at work. Blow them away. You may be a computer analyst. You may know computers inside and out. You may be the IT person and whatever. You may be this. You may be that. I want to tell you something, folks. I couldn't do it. God gives me the strength to be able to do it. Ho-ho-ho. Give glory to God. You see? Lifestyle. Everywhere you go, what you do. And you can do this, ladies and gentlemen, because it says, let them give glory to God. Now watch. What's the next two words after let them give glory to God? Say them with me. Let them give glory to God. What's the next two words? And what? Declare. Word says, get on the rooftops and shout it like you've never shouted it before. We live in a world that needs Jesus. Amen? And we're the only Bible some people are going to read. So what is our task? Make Jesus shine. Make him shine. And for many of us, if not all of us in this room, we're going to have to get on our face before God and say, God, just touch us again by your power. We need a fresh touch, Father. And that requires a humility of all of us in this house that is not human, that comes from God himself. And then there's a fourth thing I want to tell you. It's found in verse 13. Verse 13 says, the Lord shall go forth, look at this, like a mighty man. Look what it says. He'll stir up his zeal like a man of war. He'll cry out, he'll shout aloud, and he'll prevail against his enemies. Here's what you got to do. Proclaim victory. Proclaim victory. And look at this. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal. Go forth is a military term. When the master sergeant or whomever says, fall out, you know what that means. They give you specific commands. You know what they mean. You go do them. And then the Bible says, he shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. What's the word stir up mean? Have you ever gotten rid of an anthill, a fire anthill around your house? Anybody? So what do you have to do? I get this little poison stuff that's not poisonous to animals, they say, except ants. Fire ants. You ever get fire ants on you, you'll want to get rid of them real quick. So what does it take to stir up all those ants? Just take a shovel. Just take something to mess them up. And then what happens? You can't even see the ground because it turns red with all these little ants. That's what it means, stir it up. That's what I ask God to do for us. God, just get in here and stir us up like we've never been stirred before. Stir us up through your power. Get in there and mess us all up in a good way. But get in there and push us like we've never been pushed. And you know that's what God's doing? We're seeing that happen in front of our eyes right here as we began this community makeover, as what God is doing in this church and in the life of this church right now, in its ministry to this community, in its ministry to children with tonight, in our worship service beginning on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. God is shaking us up. But we got to respond to that, folks. We got to proclaim victory. We win. We win. We know the end of the story. And so did the Jews of the exile. They won because the Messiah came. And one day, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't believe in the far distant future either, the Lord Jesus is going to come. One shall be left and the other will be taken. And he's going to take this church, his bride, out of this world forever. From chapters 3 through the last three chapters of the book of Revelation, you never hear the church mentioned. Why? Because it's gone. It's in heaven. Now, what do we do until that time? There are four things. I'm going to put them back up on the screen for you. It's the 4 points of the message. You've got, what's the first one you wrote down? Say it with me. Learn to sing. What's the second one? Lift up your voice. The third one. Give glory to God. And the fourth one? Now, here's the invitation. We got to learn to sing a new song. Folks, you're not resaved. But we ask God for a different, new, and a fresh touch. During our invitation this morning, would you ask God to touch you? A fresh touch? And how do you do that? You ask him. You pray. For many of you, it will be sitting right where you are, standing right where you are. For many of you, it may be coming down to this altar and praying. An act of worship of just moving to pray. An act of worship of sitting where you are and praying, but learning to sing. You promise God today that I'm going to lift up my voice this week. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus to those I work with at school. Folks, one of the hardest things you all have to face at school when you're there is mentioning the name of Jesus. And believe it or not, it was the same way in the 60s. And I pray for you as far as our young people, our college kids. And especially if you're on a secular campus or a public school, lifting up your voice is going to be one, if not the hardest thing you've ever done. because it puts you right out in front to be ridiculed. Oh, he's a narrow-minded Christian. She's a. But I want you to know when they say that, folks, the God of this universe and the angels in heaven are shouting to hold you up. And so are these people right around you. And then, folks, be ready outside to give glory to God. Man, you're so good at this. You know, I thank you for telling me that. And I appreciate the compliment like you wouldn't believe. But I love Jesus Christ, and I couldn't do this apart from the Lord. You've just been a witness. See? Lift up your voice. And then you just tell old Satan. He comes knocking at your door the next time, you send Jesus to the door. Okay? You send Jesus to the door through his word. All that stuff Satan wants to do to you, to pull you down and depress you and everything else, you just proclaim victory by saying to the Lord, saying to Satan, the Lord Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords of my life. You can come at me with everything you got, but you can't touch me because I stand on the power of the infallible and errant word of God. And Satan, I take it back the other way. Now that's four pieces of spiritual precept advice. But now I've put it, and God has put it, in all of our hands. What are we going to do with it? This whole building becomes an altar. We prayed this morning, and many have already prayed, and said we just ask the blood of Jesus to cover this building. The Ark of the Covenant. When Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the priest went in, and he covered the top, the mercy seat of the covenant, completely with the blood of the unblemished lamb. Folks, when you ask the blood of Jesus to cover like that, you have literally covered this church with the blood of Jesus. Now, not that it wasn't holy beforehand, but folks, according to my Bible, when you went into the Holy of Holies, and if you touched the Ark of the Covenant, what happened to you? You die. That's pretty holy, isn't it? Maybe it's time in our heart. I call it barefoot theology. That symbolized in our heart, we remove our shoes, literally, in our heart, and we get on our face before God, and we said, God, give us a fresh touch. We want to sing a new song like never before. Man, we want to lift up our voice in our community like never before. And we're going to give you the glory, not us. And we're going to proclaim to Satan and the demons and all throughout this world that you're victorious. You win. Satan loses. Wow. What a prayer. What a commitment. Will you pray? Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for the privilege of delivering your word. Thank you for hearing the words of Isaiah that have been saturated with the power of God for us this morning. You talked to the exiles, but even more now, you're talking to us. And you're telling us exactly what we must do as a body. So Lord, all of us come this morning to accomplish those four things. We respond to what you say. Oh Father, descend on this house, descend on our hearts like never before. We need in these last days of this decade of the 21st century, this first decade of the 21st century, Father, we are begging for a fresh touch. We are praying for revival, and let it begin right here. And Father, we symbolically and many of us physically, we get on our face before you and we just ask you for that like never before. Oh, Father, help us to sing a new song, a new and fresh song, Lord, as never before. And in addition to that, help us to lift up our voices totally to you in everything that we do. To give glory to you. And then, oh Father, to proclaim victory. Because you are our Lord. That's our prayer this morning. The response is yours. To God be the glory. Amen.